Let's take our Bibles at this time and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 18, beginning at verse 35. And we'll go over to the first 10 verses of chapter 19. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on what He calls the Word of Life. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, You are the God who not only speaks, but has spoken, finally in the person of Your Son and those apostles that He sent. We're grateful to have the Word of God in our own language so that we can read it and benefit from it. Lord, bless not only the reading today, but the preaching as well. Give our hearts the ability to receive what You've said, to know the truth as it is in Jesus, and to go from here with lives that have been changed by the power of the good news that You've told and that Your Spirit impresses on the hearts of ready receivers. We pray that You'd make us such, that You'd give and strengthen faith this day. Lord, in light of our prevailing weakness, make for Your strength to be perfected among us. Make for us to know that it's You that's engaging us this morning by the Word. Bless Your servant. Bless all of us with ears to hear, that we might lay these things up in our hearts and practice them in our lives, all for Jesus' sake and for Your glory. In Him we pray. Amen. Luke 18, verse 35. Again, this is God's Word. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way, or those before him, were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him, rejoicing. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is our reading of God's Word this morning. May He bless it to our hearts. Friends, history has it that some who are busy living life as it unfolds in a given day sometimes become the means for conveying the history that surprisingly made that given day. We can say that about the sailor who dipped that nurse in a celebratory kiss in Times Square at the end of World War II. Maybe you've seen the famous picture. We can say it of Jules Naudé, who happened to be filming a documentary on Engine 7 Ladder 1 firehouse members when he caught the first plane crashing into the tower, the North Tower, on 9/11. And we can say it of two men who, although so unlike each other and so busy living life as it pertained to them and unfolded for them one day, became, unbeknownst to them, means to convey the surprising history that Jesus made that given day. Here is a tale of two men. And that tale these two men tell is simply this, that Jesus freely gives mercy to those who look for him. Jesus freely gives mercy to those who look for him. Just as some bitten by snakes in the Old Testament, but look to the bronze serpent that God had provided and so were healed, these two men but looked to Jesus and they were saved. Jesus freely gives mercy to those who look to him. We see this with his interactions with these two men. First, there's Bartimaeus outside Jericho. Secondly, there's Zacchaeus inside Jericho. And should you need mercy today, consider what Jesus did for these men. Look first at Bartimaeus outside Jericho. Luke doesn't tell us his name. Mark calls him Bartimaeus. It may not have been his real name, since Bartimaeus literally means the son of Tim. If it was his real name, it would be as if he was called Jackson Jackson. Jackson, the son of Jack. That's the way they named their children back then. We can't say that he was a nobody to the people because they at least knew his father. But it doesn't seem that he was well liked or given much attention by the people. He was simply the son of Timaeus. They didn't speak with this man on a first name basis. It's probably because, secondly, he was a blind man, verse 35. It's not just that he can't see, but according to the common thinking of the first century, this man was viewed as being under the judgment of God. This, to the eyes of the people, was a cursed man. This was a man who, because of his spiritual problem, had the physical problem that he did. He was considered outside of God's favor. And therefore, blind Bartimaeus was, as the story goes on, a beggar. He could only get or take from others. He couldn't do for himself. It seems that he couldn't work. Perhaps his father is dead and he has no family to care for him. He's completely at the mercy of other people and he only gets what other people are willing and ready to give him. So there's Bartimaeus at the side of the road. He's passive, begging, going nowhere, achieving nothing, having nothing, needing always. He's not able to care for himself. He is a needy, desperate man. He's basically trapped. He's helpless, regarded as cursed. He may have been rudely insulted. He may have been occasionally victimized. He was probably often ignored and miserably waiting for something to come by. Like most people who sit beside the road, it's a dangerous place to be sitting. However, this day, this is the best place to be. And that's because, what is this but a swell of voices that's coming about? And it gets into his ears. Some in particular may pierce the swell. There's a crowd. and bystanders are now joining their voices to the swell. We can hear him saying, "What's happening? What's going on?" as he reaches out to understand or grab hold of somebody. And they say to him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And Bartimaeus, though he was blind, he has heard. He can't see, but he speaks. And he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He obviously kept saying it because the people are sternly telling him to keep quiet. They're trying to hush him up. You can see the sternness in their faces. You can hear the cruelty in their voices toward him. But despite all these disadvantages, Bartimaeus looks for Jesus. He's looking to Jesus. He'll not be silenced. He'll call more. He'll call louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me." He's blind. And yet this man saw better than most people gathered as a crowd that day. He can't see Jesus. But this man sees Jesus. He obviously knew something of the promised Messiah, because the way that he speaks in light of the reports about Jesus of Nazareth shows that he perhaps is more informed about this man than those who inform him. He calls Jesus differently than the crowd referred to Jesus. They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Well, that's a nice physically oriented term. That's a nice geographical reference, maybe the family or the territorial reference to Jesus. But Bartimaeus cries for Jesus, the Son of David. He understands and believes that this man can heal him as the prophets foretold of the Messiah. Psalm 146, "The Lord opens the eyes of the blind." Isaiah, "Out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see." Isaiah again, "Then the eyes of the blind will be opened and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped." And Isaiah again, "I will lead the blind by a way they do not know." This is a man who, though he cannot see, is very able to hear. And by hearing, he sees. He sees Jesus by faith, though he cannot see him by sight. And therefore, Jesus freely gives his mercy to this man. It's a wonderful scene. You see it at verse 40. After this man is calling personally and particularly about himself to Jesus, Jesus stops. All the crowd stops. And he commands. He doesn't merely ask. He doesn't suggest. He commands that Bartimaeus be brought to him. And when he comes near, imagine the delayed coming it would have been. As he sticks out his hands and he waits for others to bring him to Jesus. And maybe he puts his arms forward on his face to ensure that he's got the still calling man before him. And Jesus, looking him in the eye, says, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Is it not obvious, Lord? Can you not see yourself what needs to be done? The man is blind. Why would you ask, 'What do you want me to do for you?'" But Jesus loves to hear people profess faith. He loves it when people say they believe in him. He loves that personal encounter of the one who has made him his trust. And so he wants to hear it from the man. He's heard it already, but he wants to hear it most specifically. And so the man says, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, as if it were an afterthought, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he regained his sight and began following him. What are we taught by Bartimaeus that day? We're taught that Jesus freely gives his mercy to anyone who looks to him for it. Anyone. He calls us out. Jesus freely gives his mercy to those who look for him. Not because they've looked for him, as if it's some scholarship that's now awarded. No, he freely gives to those by means of faith, as a free gift through that means. If you have eyes to see it yourself, you'll be saying, you know, Bartimaeus is me. Bartimaeus is us. You and I are a lot like Bartimaeus before we've come to Jesus Christ. We're by nature blind. We're beggarly. We're ignorant of the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. We're there seated on our little mat on the road of life, and Jesus and the whole crowd are passing us by. But we're blind. That's why Paul says that Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Can you remember those days when you were blind about the things of Christ? You didn't understand. You couldn't see. You kind of got along without seeing the way you're supposed to see. Are you here today blind to the things of Jesus Christ? There is a beggar, being hushed by the crowd, blind about Jesus Christ. The Bible says the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Our condition as we enter into this world is one of beggarliness and blinded. It says, no one who sins has seen God or knows him. The one who does good is of God. The one who does evil has not seen God. And unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's where we are. We're spiritually blind. And what we see by Bartimaeus is who we are outside of Jesus Christ. And yet, what did Jesus do? But he took the path that led right by Bartimaeus. He passed right by us. And like Bartimaeus, he called for us. He spoke to us. He made us see. He made us, by means of hearing, to be those who see. Hearing not only about Jesus Christ, but as the scripture says, hearing the very word of Christ. That's how faith came. There we were, as if outside Jericho, blind, beggarly, ignorant about the full light of Jesus Christ in our sins, and yet Jesus had mercy upon us. Why? Simply because we looked for him. We called on him. And even that in response to his calling us. Another application is that if there's anyone here that is blind and who needs spiritual mercy, anyone who is here at the roadside with a crowd hearing about Jesus passing by, Jesus has again today taken that very path. He's calling to you through the preaching of the gospel. And if you listen to my bidding, you hear Jesus' bidding in the preaching. And he says, as he stops, command for such a one to come here. Bring him here. And friend, I call you and I try to help you from the roadside. And I say, come to Jesus Christ. If you need mercy, whatever your forlorn and sad condition, come to Jesus Christ. You'll have mercy for your sins. Don't let him pass you by, but look for him. What would it have been like for Bartimaeus that day if he let Jesus pass by? Just listening to the crowds, trying to imagine what was happening in his mind's eye. Friend, you know, he would have lost out on the opportunity. As the scripture says, today is the day. Today is the day wherein you may be saved. But you must look to Jesus Christ. You see that Bartimaeus put himself. Bartimaeus kept himself where he could hear, where he could learn, where he could call out to Jesus Christ and receive what Jesus would be pleased to give him. This man acted on possibility so that what is impossible with man and with him certainly would be shown to be possible with God. We might learn from him the valuable lesson to be putting ourselves before the outward, ordinary means whereby Christ effectually communicates to us the benefits of his redemption. To be always in a beggarly position of needing to receive from Jesus. Those are the ones that Isaiah says he will look to. I will look to those who are humble and contrite of spirit and who tremble at my word. Bartimaeus had put himself in that very position and posture to receive from Jesus. What if he didn't ask the bystanders what was going on that day? What if he had quieted down and hushed up when they sternly told him? What if he hadn't shouted to Jesus? All these wonderful things of mercy to needy sinners would have been left off altogether. He would have remained blind, would have stayed a beggar. But this teaches us that if you look to Jesus, if you look for him, freely gives mercy to those who seek him. Another application is, what does Jesus' free mercy make us do? If we've come to Jesus Christ and we've called out as blind beggars to him, what does his mercy do? What does it make us do? Well, very clearly, it makes us to see Jesus. Otherwise, Bartimaeus couldn't have possibly done that. But it's through believing Jesus and receiving mercy that he sees Jesus as he must. He now sees Jesus with clear sight. He was blind. He asked Jesus to see him, and Jesus healed him. And Luke says he regained his sight. It's free mercy that makes us to see things the way Jesus means for us to see them. If you've not come to Jesus as a blind beggar, friend, you're still blind. What did Jesus say to those hardened Pharisees? That because you say you see, your sin remains. But if you had come to me, you would have seen as you ought to see. Free mercy makes us to see Jesus. What a wonderful thing for this poor man. The first and chief and preeminent vision that he has when he comes to Christ is Christ alone. His vision is filled with Christ. Christ dominates his gaze. We do well to ask ourselves then, do I see as Christ means for me to see? Does Jesus fill my vision? Is he what I look at? Is he what I look to? That one to whom I have come, is he the one on whom I long to look always? Free mercy makes us to see Jesus. Free mercy also makes us to follow Jesus. Of course it does. Jesus ended Bartimaeus' roadside life. What a life that was. It's all gone now. What does he have in common with sitting at the roadside? What does he have now with begging when he's been given mercy freely and fully through Jesus Christ? His life is bound up with Jesus. He cannot but follow him. His blindness, which is now removed, kept him at the roadside. And if it's removed, he must leave the roadside. He must follow this one who had mercy upon him. And so also you and I. We've had our minds opened to understand the Scriptures. We've had the eyes of our heart enlightened that we might know the hope of His calling. As if Lydia, the Lord has opened our heart to believe Jesus' word. We're following Him now. And you'll be able to ask yourself an answer. Have I received Jesus' mercy? When you see yourself truly following in His footsteps, walking after Him, receiving the teaching that He then brings. Free mercy not only makes us to see Jesus and follow Jesus, but it makes us to glorify God. That's our chief end, to glorify God. And to enjoy Him forever. Immediately, verse 43, Bartimaeus regained his sight and began following Him, glorifying God. Jesus' mercy to you is not an end in itself. It's but a means to an end. He has taken you from the roadside that you might glorify God in following Christ, walking with Him, learning as His disciple. You'll know that you've truly received mercy if you're glorifying God. Is that your new life? To give glory to Him. Every step you take, at the same time, whatever it is and wherever He leads you in the course of a day, you're glorifying God. You're praising Him for His mercy. As the psalmist said in Psalm 52, it's you that have done all this. He speaks of the Lord's mercies to him. Jesus gives mercy to you that you would give glory to God. And His mercy is not only once that you're glorifying God might be once. His mercies are new every morning, that you might every morning glorify God. His mercies endure forever, that you might eternally glorify God. If Jesus has had mercy on you, you see Jesus, you follow Jesus, and you glorify God. That's what we learn from Bartimaeus outside Jericho, that Jesus freely gives mercy to those who but look for Him and look to Him. But only moments later, maybe as much as a couple of hours later, we see it again with Zacchaeus inside Jericho. How different this man, Zacchaeus, is from Bartimaeus. Two very different men. Zacchaeus is not blind. He sees quite well. He's no beggar. He's a well-employed tax collector, not only a general tax collector who goes around to the people and collects the taxes. No, Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. In other words, he has other tax collectors that bring their coffers and report to him. And Zacchaeus takes a hefty cut out of their tax collecting once they've overcharged the people for themselves and given their quota to the Roman government. Zacchaeus first takes his own cut. And it's no wonder then that, as Luke says, he's rich. He's filthy rich. This is the official that probably oversaw the one of three tax collecting agencies. His, of course, was at Jericho. This is a very rich man. Filthy rich, in the right use of the term. So Luke states it modestly when at verse 2 he says that Zacchaeus was rich. For sure, the soon grumbling crowd will call Zacchaeus a sinner. And Zacchaeus will top it all off at verse 8 with the full truth about himself when he speaks of himself as fraud. Very different from Bartimaeus. But these men, Zacchaeus and Bartimaeus, were very different from each other, as much different as luxury is from poverty. Very different. And yet these two men are very similar. Very similar. Both men were unable to see Jesus. And both men had need of mercy. And what is more, both men had some obstruction to overcome. Both men are looking for Jesus. Bartimaeus was blind, and so he had to shout over a crowd. Zacchaeus was short, and so he had to climb a tree. Similarities, even though they have differences. And even so, Jesus freely gave mercy to Zacchaeus, even as he did Bartimaeus. Unworthy men, unlikely recipients, Jesus nonetheless free in his mercy to both of these men because they both believed and they both acted in a determined way, in a determined faith to get what they lacked, to get what they wanted, to get what they needed of Jesus. The whole scene about Zacchaeus is absolutely wonderful. This man can't see Jesus because he's too short. And so what does he do? But he takes his short little legs and he runs ahead of Jesus. He's able to climb a sycamore tree. It's almost as though he wanted to see without being seen. Not so with Jesus. He's not going to be the one who's seen but doesn't see. He's going to see those who try to see him. Probably people, as he's coming around, wonder, what in the world is that man? Is that a kid? What is he doing? Running ahead and climbing a tree. And there he is up in the seclusion of a tree with its leaves about him in the covering. And this is, if you have ears to hear it, sort of the male version of the woman who came to Jesus and touched his cloak and wanted to remain anonymous. Jesus called her out to demonstrate her faith, and now Jesus calls Zacchaeus down to demonstrate his faith. Did Zacchaeus really think that he could remain anonymous with Jesus? Jesus lifts the lid right off it. He stops right under the tree, and everyone stops with him. And then he looks up into the tree, and everyone looks up into the tree with him. And then Jesus calls him right down. Zacchaeus, hurry down. His cover's blown. But if Zacchaeus was in any way exposed, or in any way ashamed or embarrassed, it's all swallowed up when Jesus quickly went on and said, "For I must stay at your house today." That's not the social inconvenience, the cultural inconvenience that it might be for us today. No, that was the highest privilege. In the first century context, if someone said they're coming over to your house, that meant you were honored to be a host to them. And so Zacchaeus, though he may have at first been utterly embarrassed and ashamed, Jesus means to give him the highest privilege and the honor of the day. And so he comes down the tree hurriedly and quickly, and he's saying, we can read his thoughts, "What, at my house?" And then the crowd is saying, "What, at his house? This man is a sinner." And right there, at those very words, Zacchaeus stops. And he stops dead in his tracks. He's pierced to the heart. He's convicted. The word sinner stuns him. This man was the chief tax collector. He's filthy rich. His conscience won't let him go a step further. The crowd may not let him go a step further. But Jesus wants him to go a step further. What is the next step, though, for Zacchaeus? Surely there is a step if he's to enter his house with Jesus. So there under a sycamore tree, a rich chief tax collecting man, convicted of sin in the presence of a holy Savior, confesses his sin to Jesus. "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor." And that was to reverse his own covetousness. "And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." And that was the law's specific restitution for bilking people from their taxes. You see, with Zacchaeus, we see a camel go through the eye of a needle. We see a rich man enter the kingdom of God. We see that all things are impossible with men, but they are possible with God. We see that Jesus freely gives his mercy, mercy to those who look for him. And it's free. Jesus wraps it all up. And he says, today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. And that's because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He vindicates Zacchaeus. He exposes the grumbling crowd of unbelievers. He calls all lost sinners to come home as Abraham's sons. Zacchaeus' house is the place where salvation will be, because that's the place where Jesus will be. Today, I must dine at your house. It's a wonderful scene. Jesus freely gives mercy to those who but look to him. It doesn't matter how miserable you are in sin. It doesn't matter how far in sin you've gone. It doesn't matter if you look to Jesus with a sincere and with a needy heart. Because of that, you will get mercy. Through that means, you'll have free mercy that endures forever. And as Jesus says, you'll get it today. You get it right now if you call on Jesus. And he'll say to you, as he did to Zacchaeus, "Hurry down, come down, because I must stay at your house today." Philip Ryken captures the beauty of God's mercy when he says, "This is the way Jesus saves lost sinners. He does it by walking right into our lives, even uninvited." Are you inconvenienced by people that uninvited show up? That's the way Jesus operates. He shows up when you least expect him. And he surprises with abounding mercy. Bartimaeus at the roadside, blind and begging. And Jesus not only stops for him, but commands to him to come. Zacchaeus climbing a tree, and Jesus orders him down. What mercy of our Savior. He's merciful to all those who will look for him. He does it by walking right into our lives, even uninvited. Especially uninvited. This whole notion of "I invited Jesus into my heart." No, I think the gospel is that Jesus shows up uninvited. Aren't there times when you have been right there in the midst of sin, and Jesus, like Zacchaeus, he shows up and his mercy overwhelms? That's the way Jesus operates. Your heart should be strengthened by the fact that Jesus shows up uninvited. It's His grace. Otherwise, it would not be of grace. Would you be made uncomfortable because Jesus sovereignly invites Himself into your house? Are you rattled that He calls you out, calls you down from a sycamore tree, person of little stature that you are? Oh, friend, do you think that lightly of His mercy? Do you think that highly of yourselves, that you could not be the spectacle and a public trophy of His love over you, that He would call and display and use you as a means to convey that history that He has made that given day? That's what's going on here. It's about Jesus. Even uninvited, free in His mercy to those who but look to Him. I wonder if there's any sinner up in a sycamore tree today. I wonder if there's anyone at the roadside today. Well, once again, friend, Jesus in the preaching has passed by. What will you do? Will you act on the opportunity? Will you call out from the roadside? Would you get up in a tree to see Him better? He who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. Yes, Jesus will give Himself to those who shout like crazy lunatics for Him. People who do the absurd thing as climbing a sycamore tree. Those are the people whose faith is earnest. However, the best view is not up in the tree. It's down on the ground. It's level and eye to eye with Jesus. Him speaking to you of mercy, even as you to Him confess your sins. Jesus freely gives mercy to those who look for Him. Do you really want to stay up in the tree all alone? Idly and awkwardly there? Or would you not rather come down and be greeted by Jesus and welcome Him into your home and feast with Him? Surely that day there was perhaps good drink and food, but it didn't taste anywhere near as good as the mercy that Jesus showed to Zacchaeus and his guests. If He did this for a curious inquirer, what will He do for the earnest seeker? He'll do much more. As we go from this message today, just two things in closing. The first thing is that the crowd is always and commonly going to keep you from seeing Jesus, receiving the free mercy that He gives. Bartimaeus faced it. An angry, stern, hushing crowd about him. Zacchaeus faced it with a crowd that was accusing him of being the sinner. The crowd may be actual people. It may be your family. It may be your friends and acquaintances. It might be your neighbors. It may be situations. It may be Satan's suggestions to your minds. It may be your own fears and your own thoughts and your own doubts about whether Jesus could really have enough mercy to forgive even your sins. There's always going to be some sort of crowd trying to get in the way between Jesus and you. But if you hear and you see the crowd, don't miss the one who is there, even with the crowd, and it is Jesus. When you call to Him and you put yourself in the awkward position of such notice of the Savior, and He will have mercy on you. Another point in closing is that since history has it that some who are busy living their lives on any given day sometimes become a means for conveying the surprising history made that given day, you should seek to more fathom how amazing and wonderful a thing it is that Jesus has been merciful to you. Bartimaeus, your story has gone down the corridors of time. And you had no idea that that day you would be the means by which Jesus would convey the history that he made that day. Zacchaeus, all the same for you. You had no idea. You were just there trying to see him. You only climbed the sycamore tree. But Luke said, Jesus made history that day. And you in God's grace, Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, have become means by which Christ was pleased to convey the history he made that day. Have you not had a today is the day of salvation for you? Is it not then for you to be utterly amazed, wonderfully shocked and astonished that such free mercy would be given to you, that in the generations to come, beginning with your children, they might know that Christ is free in his mercy to those who look for him, and that they would celebrate that with themselves before Christ, that they might tell their children and their grandchildren, and you might pray for them in all those generations, that it might be that a godly heritage would be raised up, that in a sense has it fossilized for them, that Jesus' mercy is real. He gives it to those who look for him. And you can say, looking back in the generations, that happened to my parents. And that happened to my grandparents. And even you look down and say, that's happened to my great-grandchildren. Little did these two men know that they would go down in history because of the history that Jesus made that day. And if for them, then also for us, and to our children's children, hence, we'll tell them that for this Jesus died and rose again. We'll tell them that he freely gives his mercy to those who look for him. We'll tell them the tale of two men, Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus. And we'll tell our own story as well, God willing. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, what a glorious truth that Jesus is merciful to every sinner who looks to him and cries out for that mercy. We thank you that for this he died on the cross, that his blood was shed, that our sins would be forgiven, our debts canceled, our persons made acceptable to you in a receiving faith. Thank you that he is alive forevermore, that the preaching of this good news might have life and power brought by the Holy Spirit. Lord, make it such an effect on our lives that we not only see Jesus, but follow him and glorify you all the way. Lord, make this word to have good fruit in our lives. Make it to go for generations upon end for the glory and praise of him who is merciful to us. Hear us, O Lord, as we pray. And build us up in the knowledge of our Savior. In his name we ask. Amen.